A reading from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow, is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. May God bless the reading, this reading to our hearing and understanding. Thanks be to God.
And all God's people said amen.
Amen.
Thank you to the Bellabration ringers and to their wonderful director, Ron Dotson. We're very grateful. This morning we continue our November sermon series, Treasure, based upon Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, found in the sixth chapter in the Gospel of Matthew. We're specifically honing in on verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." During this month, we're asking ourselves in various ways, where is our treasure and where are our hearts? The first week, we considered how we find treasure in the saints that have gone before us and that are journeying alongside with us today. Last week, we differentiated between possessions and treasure, recognizing that our real treasure comes in our identity as a child of God and the recipient of God's constant, unfailing, and unconditional love and grace. And today, as is our tradition, as it's Thanksgiving Sunday, we're going to begin by considering both the treasures and the blessings that we are grateful for in this past year. Now, last Sunday night, both Mark and I posted on our Facebook page, what are you thankful for? And what are you grateful for? And perhaps it's reflective of the tenor of the times, we both received, for the most part, very thoughtful and reflective and somewhat somber responses this year. So here are the top 10, so to speak, that we as a community raised up. And I want you to feel free to offer an amen if you are grateful too. I know Charlie says yes to this one. Amen to a skilled vascular surgeon. Amen. And we're glad too, because that means Charlie is here with us, and that's a blessing in itself. Podcasts of our service that are heard by former members and others who live in, let's just say, less progressive parts of the country. Amen? For new life in baby Evelyn and renewed life in Art Roscoe, who has faced a very difficult five months health-wise and has now come home from the hospital in time for Thanksgiving. Amen? For friends and family, far and near. Amen. One of our young adult women wrote this: I'm especially grateful for our brothers and sisters who are showing great courage by sharing their own traumatic experience to create a sense of unity, of acceptance, of compassion, and to prevent future generations from facing the same abuse. Amen. Second chances and third chances. Amen. And the grace of God. Amen. To be able to bask in the beauty of God's creation shown here in rural Virginia as taken by Arnold Edwards. Amen. For a shoulder to cry on and healing through meaningful connection. Amen. For health and strength. Amen. Amen. For a roof over my head, food in my fridge, a blanket on my bed, clean water, all of the things I take for granted every day. Amen. Amen. Okay, if you were counting, that was 11, but you know, for all that we give thanks for, let us say together, amen. 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 The British poet G.K. Chesterton once said, when it comes to life, the critical thing is whether you take things for granted or take things with gratitude. Our gospel lesson for the morning reminds us of the way Jesus taught us to take things in life with gratitude. In this morning's gospel lesson, again, part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about the difference between the things of the wallet and the things of the heart, and the importance of trusting in God. Let's remember again who Jesus was talking to. The people who had gathered to hear him teach, including his own disciples, were not rich. Many were poor. They were working folks, living paycheck to paycheck to support themselves and their families. And like in the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is not speaking just to those with money. He's speaking to us all. So let's unpack what he's saying. He's saying, first, we have to choose who we are going to worship or place our trust. We're going to place our trust in that which we can accumulate and own, or in God. Jesus isn't saying that food and clothing and material possessions aren't important to a point. At the end of this section, he actually acknowledges that every day we will face challenges. and hard times. Jesus' point here is that we need to be aware of what it is that motivates us in life. So consider what Jesus is saying when he compares our human preoccupation with food and clothing and wealth with the birds of the air, who don't worry about any of those things, and yet God provides for them. As the song goes, God's eye is on the sparrow, just as God's eye is on all of God's good creation. See, God loves us beyond measure and wants only that we love God and love one another in return. A very simple ask. But how often is it, brothers and sisters, do we wonder, just in the back of our minds, if God really does watch us? If God really does care for us, do we truly put our trust in the God who loves us completely and calls us by name? Or are our loyalties somewhere else? Do we expect those things that we accumulate to do more than they are capable of doing? You know, however hard we work, however much stuff we accumulate, we'll never be able to control everything that happens around us. It doesn't matter how rich or clever we are, our possessions will never be able to protect us completely against the hardness and the sorrows of life. And that brings us to that word, worry, which really defines the bulk of today's passage. The center of Jesus' teaching focuses on the idea of worry or anxiety, a concept, according to the great preacher Fred Craddock, that translates a Greek term having the base meaning split attention or divided concern. The word appears in this little passage 6 times in one form or another, in just 9 verses, 6 times relating to the very basics of human life, food and drink and clothing. And when we become distracted by accumulating more and more and more of the stuff of this world, we end up being anxious, being stressed, because we're relying on ourselves to provide rather than on God, who will provide. And Jesus tells those gathered on the Sermon on the Mount, tells us today, that ultimately that lifestyle is not sustainable. Instead, Jesus says, we need to redirect our energies away from anxiety and worry and stress about being good enough or having enough or doing enough. We need to move and shift away from ourselves, our energies away from ourselves, and seek first the kingdom of God. Now, I warn you, that can be dangerous if it's not done correctly. I heard a story about a pastor who did a lot of counseling with people who were worried and stressed and anxious. And one of his members came to him with his tale of woe, and he says, I'm actually experiencing physical pain because I'm so stressed out. And the pastor, who thought himself quite an expert, said, well, you know, last week someone came to me with just the same problem. After we talked for a while, it turns out he was worried sick because he owed someone $5,000, and I was able to help him. And the church member said, well, how did you do that? Pastor says, well, I simply told the man that life was too short to worry about a piece of paper that said he owed $5,000. Just rip it up, stop worrying about the debt, get on with your life. And that's just what he did. And now he feels great. And the church member said, yes, I know. I'm the one he borrowed the $5,000 from. In saying, seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus is not saying, don't worry, be happy. He's not saying, be irresponsible. You pay your debts, you don't rip them up. He's not saying to not take care of ourselves. Jesus is simply reframing the questions that we need to be asking of ourselves. Jesus says that we shouldn't just ask, am I okay? Do I have enough? But we should be asking, are you okay? Do you have enough? Our concerns need to be directed at everyone around us seeking the kingdom, but building this beloved community, loving one another instead of just worrying about what I have and what I want and what I need and how to get it. Because when it is, my brothers and sisters, that we trust in God to provide for us, when we free ourselves from the anxiety over doing and being, we make room for God in our minds and our hearts. Room that instead was cluttered with the stress and the anxiety is now freed up to receive the Spirit within us. When we refuse to worry or be anxious about tomorrow, but instead choose to live in the present, today, we open ourselves to be able to have God use us to care for each other. And we find ourselves living out Jesus' instructions to look at the birds. You know, I'm sure that most of us on most days would rather be watching the birds than the news. Amen? There are mornings that I honestly pray, Lord, make this stop. I have enough sermon material to last 4 months. I don't need any more. And as I was reflecting on that yesterday, especially Pastor Ed and Mark and I went to the memorial service for Joey McDonald, the pastor at the North Hollywood United Methodist Church, who died suddenly last month. And as I was reflecting on just this passage about how with worry you cannot add another cubit, another day to your life, it does not accomplish anything, I was reminded that we simply do need to look at the birds. The way they live without worry, the way they don't stress over something. If they don't find food here, they go here and they find it. They trust in God's creation for their every need. They may not know they're trusting in God's creation, but ultimately that's how they're acting. We need to look at the birds, the way they travel together, the way they care for one another, the way they create their own community. And mama birds feeding the baby birds, sometimes even not her own, because there is hunger and she can offer food. Brothers and sisters, we need to look at the birds, and we need to work to build up this community of faith to continue to stand as a light, as a beacon of hope in a world that is broken and that is hurting. God is calling us to be God's own treasure here in the heart of Hollywood, living out the values of love and compassion and grace and above all gratitude, over and against what Paul called the powers and principalities that would have us acquiesce to thinking that stuff can make us happy, because it can't. Amen? Only seeing the face of Jesus in one another and those we are still to meet on this journey of life, that is our true treasure. I pray you feel the same way. I pray you feel called to help grow our family of faith in serving others here in the heart of Hollywood, because I am convinced that God has called us to grow this church so that more people can experience their true treasure, the radical and life-changing love of God in Jesus Christ. But to do that, it will take your hearts and minds, your hands and your feet. It will take a commitment of your gifts and your service, of your checkbook or your credit card, and your calendar. And it will take the understanding that it is from a grateful heart that service in the name of God authentically flows. It was in the Middle Ages that the mystic Meister Eckhart once said, if the only prayer you ever pray in your whole life is thank you, it will be enough. If the only prayer you pray in your whole life is thank you, it will suffice. You see, ultimately, it's not what you do. It's not about that. It's about who you are, a child of God. It's about serving others. It's about taking care of our family and how that needs to naturally flow as a product of our faith. You see, serving one another, offering a cup of cold water in the name of Christ, who is someone in need, it shouldn't be something we need to think about. Working for justice for all God's children should not take deep analysis. When we follow the Christ with a sense of gratitude for all that God has done for us, serving others through acts of mercy and justice are where we will find our true heart and our true treasure. I'm going to close this Thanksgiving sermon, as I do every year, with a story of gratitude, of ultimate gratitude. And Martin Rinkert was a minister in the little town of Eilenberg in Germany some 300 and some odd years ago. In the year 1617, he was offered the post of archdeacon in his hometown parish. A year later, what came to be known as the 30 Years' War broke out, and his town was caught right in the middle. In 1637, the massive plague that swept across the continent of Europe hit Eilenberg. People died at the rate of 50 a day, and the pastor, Lutheran pastor, called on to bury most of them was Martin Rinkert. In all, over 6,000 people died from this plague, including Martin's own wife. His earthly labors came to an end about 11 years later, just 1 year after the conclusion of the war. His ministry spanned 32 years, all but the first and the last, overwhelmed by this great conflict that engulfed his town and that cost so many people their lives. These were tough circumstances in which for him to show gratitude or be thankful. But he was, and he wrote these words: "Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom this world rejoices." So my brothers and sisters, on this Thanksgiving Sunday, live in gratitude, not just on Thanksgiving, but every day. Know that your greatest treasure is your identity as a child of God. Serve one another with thanksgiving for not just your own top 11 list or 12 or however many, but live in gratitude with grateful hearts and hands and voices. Amen.